Climate news, the U.S. Supreme Court temporarily blocked a high-profile climate change lawsuit on Friday brought by 21 young activists who have accused the federal government of violating the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause with policies that continue to destabilize the Earth's climate system. The Animal Legal Defense Fund filed a similar case in Oregon today. The plaintiffs in the suit include scientists, nature enthusiasts, and wildlife advocates who say they fear for their safety because of the increased severity of wildfires, mudslides, and other threats. Meanwhile, in New York State, the long-anticipated defense arguments in an environmental trial are scheduled for tomorrow in Cortland Manor. Activists for the group Resist Spectra briefly halted construction of an Enbridge fracked gas pipeline through direct action in 2016. The three individuals who crawled into the pipeline, David Pablo, Rebecca Berlin, and Janet Gonzalez, represented by attorney David Dorfman, will present the necessity defense to Judge Kimberly Regazzo, claiming that their illegal actions were necessary to prevent a greater harm. The prosecution already presented their case in July, and trespass charges were dropped against three additional individuals who participated in the action but did not crawl into the pipeline. Since the action took place almost 2 years ago, Governor Cuomo's administration has released an executive summary of a risk assessment that confirms that the highly pressurized fracked gas pipeline is not safe. The pipeline comes within about 100 feet of critical infrastructure at Indian Point Energy Center, an aging and failing nuclear power plant on the Hudson River. Local residents are still calling on Governor Cuomo to shut off the gas in the pipeline. We're joined today by David Dorfman, a professor of law at Pace University and the defense lawyer for this case. David, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Lydia.
So let's start with, what is the necessity defense? And why would it be historic if your clients were to be found not guilty based on this necessity defense tomorrow?
Okay, the necessity defense is an ancient defense. It used to be called the choice of evils defense. And basically what it says is that a person is allowed to break the law in order to avert a greater harm. So New York State, in its wisdom, has enacted a penal provision, a defense by statute called 35.05. And it lists the particular elements of this defense. So we have to show not only that the harm of, an exploding pipeline and a nuclear holocaust at Indian Point, or the harm of global climate change and superstorms and tundra fires, or the harm of the public health effects of frack gas and shale gas around people who live near the pipeline. We also have to show that this harm is what they call imminent, meaning it's happening now or about to happen now. We also have to show that my clients conduct of climbing in the pipeline was reasonably calculated to stop the pipeline. And we also have to show that they kind of exhausted other legal means of trying to stop the pipeline, which my argument is they did. They were, activists who did petition drives and appeared at community board meetings and posted comments with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, did all kinds of legal First Amendment protected activity to try to stop the pipeline. So that's what the necessity defense is. And it is historic in a couple of senses. The necessity defense has never been fully litigated in any courtroom in this country, resulting in an acquittal. We have some courts, like in Minnesota recently, where the Minnesota Court of Appeals held the necessity defense was proper in a similar case that had to do with the valve turners that people may know about, where they turn valves on oil pipelines. But that case ended up in an acquittal based not on the necessity defense, but based on the failure of the prosecution to just prove simple vandalism. They couldn't prove that there was any damage to the pipeline. So the experts never got a chance to testify in that case. The acquittal in West Roxbury, Massachusetts, that's the case involving Corinna Gore and a bunch of other people who climbed down in the ditch where the pipeline was being laid. That was also resolved by just the testimony of the defendants. There was no expert testimony. Didn't have to be. The judge just ruled on the defendant's own testimony.
Right.
The two cases in New York State that had previously entertained some expert testimony was the Wyawanda 6 case. That's the one that involving James Cromwell, having to do with the CPV shale gas plant. And there was expert testimony in that case, but the judge convicted, and there's a lot of dispute as to whether this was really a fair trial.
Right. And then so there was another trial. Just to simplify it really quick, the necessity fence, basically for listeners who haven't heard of this, you can imagine like there's a burning building and there's a child in the burning building and somebody from outside goes in and then they save the child and then they make
and
the
they
defense
trespass
that
in order to do it.
Right. And so they're making the defense that the trespassing was necessary. And so that's kind of, you know, what these climate activists are trying to do. What to these activists and to these community members who have been fighting against this pipeline for years before this happened, what to them is that burning building? What are they doing these actions against?
Well, the building, the burning building, you know, for the metaphor, is the possibility of an exploding pipeline within 105 feet of the switching yard of Indian Point nuclear power plant. That's one, and the chances of that happening, it's hard to estimate because the government and the pipeline company hides a lot of the information that would make it more predictable. We do know that pipeline explosions happen all the time, a few a week, and the incidents of pipeline explosions on the newer vintage of pipeline, the ones that have been laid in the last 8 to 10 years during the frack gas build out, is actually considerably higher than with older pipelines. And then these pipelines, I'm sorry.
How would winning a case like this affect direct actions against climate change? How would it change things if you guys win this case tomorrow?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, this is a trial court. It's not an appellate court. It doesn't have binding precedent, but it does send a signal that has already been sent in the Valve Turner case and in the West Roxbury case, that people can do direct action, and they have a defense. They don't have to just sit, get arrested, and plead guilty. And to that extent, there's less of a deterrent and more encouragement to people to take direct action and to really put pressure on all powers that be. And I think that it'll have influence on policymakers. I mean, people can be more vigorous in their exercise of their First Amendment rights when they feel that they're not going to be able to be successfully prosecuted.
And what about the investment side of things? How might this affect, you know, the investment side of the actual pipeline companies?
Well, to the extent that people can take direct action and, like my clients, actually delay the finishing of pipelines and really create a problem for the pipeline companies, every day of delay is a loss of money, and every bit of loss of money endangers their support by investors. We know that even with the pipeline, that the AIM pipeline that my clients were protesting, they were losing money because of delay, and there was a concern about investors pulling out. That happened in the Keystone pipeline. Certain segments of that pipeline, investors pulled out. I think that, you know, the communities and the activists who, you know, should be exercising all of their influence, and that includes influences on banks and mutual funds and investment funds in general regarding investment in these kinds of companies. I think that could really, perhaps more effectively than government action, which seems very slow, begin to really put a dent into this build-out of gas pipelines across the country.
Well, thank you so much, David. We'll have to leave it there for today. Thank you for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you for listening. You can catch us every Monday at 6 p.m. right here on WBAI 99.5 FM for all the latest from indie radio news. You can find this month's print edition of The Independent at our outdoor news boxes across the city and in local libraries, independent bookstores, and social movement centers. For all our latest coverage, go online to independent.org, that's indie with a Y, and via our social media accounts. To let us know what you think of today's show, send news tips, or find out how to subscribe to the Independent's print edition, we can be reached at 212-904-1282 or contact at independent.org. Thank you so much to WBAI for hosting our show, and see you next week.
WBAI.
The United States under the Trump administration will continue to be the cleanest and most environmentally friendly country on earth.
While Donald Trump says he has a natural instinct for science, climate activists, economists, and scientists say Trump's views on hurricanes, clean air, and climate are wrong.
We'll be the cleanest. We're going to have the cleanest air.
Actually, last year's air quality index was unhealthy, the highest since 2012. Soot days, unhealthy small pollution particles linked to heart and lung problems and death, increased dramatically since Trump took office.
We're going to have the cleanest water. We will be environmentally friendly.
Climate Tuesday over WBAI. Experts and activists, political analysis, environmental justice. That's all day and all night. Climate Tuesday here over WBAI New York.
So, you want funny? WBAI's comedy show will bring you funny. As a matter of fact, you will die laughing.